Welcome to Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. Today, Pastor Oscar Clavel delivers the message entitled, The One Who Stands in Judgment.
Our scripture reading this evening comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27, beginning at verse 11. Let us listen to God's word for us. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, Are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus said, You say so. But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him, Do you not hear how many accusations they make against you? But he gave no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the festival, the governor was accustomed to release a prisoner for the crowd, anyone whom they wanted. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Jesus Barabbas. So after they had gathered, Pilate said to them, Whom do you want me to release for you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah? For he realized that it was out of jealousy that they had handed him over. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, Have nothing to do with that innocent man, for today I have suffered a great deal because of a dream about him. Now when the chief priests and elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus killed, the governor again said to them, Which of the two do you want me to release for you? And they said, Barabbas. And Pilate said to them, Then what should I do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah? And all of them said, Let him be crucified. Then he asked, Why? What evil has he done? But they shouted all the more, Let him be crucified. So when Pilate saw that he could do nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took some water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves. Then the people as a whole answered, His blood be on us and on our children. So he released Barabbas for them, and after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. And let us pray. Gracious God, amazing love is something that we have sung, we have said, and maybe, Lord, we have said in even times of our prayers. Tonight, Lord, we ask that we would know amazing love for ourselves as we remember you, your sacrifice, your body on the cross. Draw us to you this evening, that we may be transformed and changed by the power of your Holy Spirit. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. A few years ago, I looked at the trial of Jesus, and every time that I read it, I come back to it with a new appreciation of why Good Friday matters and why it's personal for all of us. As the scene unfolds on what begins Good Friday, we find Jesus before Pilate. He is the governor of Palestine, the chief priests, the elders, and the people. It is truly the trial, not only of the century, but the trial of the likes that we will never see again. The people are asked to make a choice between criminality or innocence. Jesus is here out of jealousy from the religious leaders and the elders, because he threatens their power and their hold over the people. You see, if Jesus gets too big, he will undo all the backroom deals that the temple and Pilate have bargained for power, riches, and glory. And let's be honest, no one wants to trade in the luxuries of the earth for the truth of God. No one wants to let go of their comforts. It's far easier to live in your riches because it doesn't require anything of you. But the leaders decide to hand him over. Let's kill an innocent man and be done with it and get back to our lives. And if the courts of heaven were accessible to us at that moment, we would hear the angel say loud and clear, the religious and the upright are guilty. Jesus Barabbas, whom we have never met before, is now brought to the forefront. But why? What is his role in all of this? Now, it shouldn't be lost to you that both of these men have the same first name of Jesus. And it is as if Matthew is rubbing our noses in the fact that Pilate is asking the crowd to choose between two Jesuses to be released. Barabbas is a rebel. He has tried to overthrow the government, and he has killed many along the way. Jesus has healed on the Sabbath and has loved, according to the religious people, the wrong people. We all know Barabbas is guilty. The people know he's guilty. Pilate knows he's guilty. The choice of who to release really shouldn't be this hard. Yet on that day, the people got it completely wrong. Now, Pilate, we've seen him before. He is portrayed as a threatening presence over all of Israel. He has the power to command troops, to make or break the Jewish people. He is a bully, but he is a coward at this moment. He will not deal out justice for a matter that should not have gotten out of control. But he's conflicted, and he knows that Jesus is innocent, but he values power over justice. And he's guilty alongside the leaders and the priests and each one of them who would rather hold on to their riches rather than to acknowledge that a truly innocent man is about to be devoured by the thirst of mob mentality. Pilate washes his hands and he says the guilt lands on the people, but it's all a show. He can't wash away his guilt or his sin so easily. Not when Jesus is denied justice. Jesus should have walked away. There was no contest, but the will of the people speak. And Barabbas, the rebel, the sinner, is set free. Barabbas, though, is interesting as well. Doesn't seem that he's changed by this exchange. Doesn't look over at Jesus. Doesn't offer a prayer of thanks. Because he knows that he is the prized possession of the people. He feels welcomed by them. I mean, they were just shouting, Barabbas, release him. They want him to be free. And so the gospel story tells us that on that day, on that trial, the sinner walks away free and the trial ends. Where is the justice that day? Jesus stood alone that day where he should have been received with thanksgiving and joy in Israel. He receives lashes, blows, and humiliation. But this is what Matthew has been hinting along all this time. From the very beginning of Matthew 1 to its very point right here, humanity as a collective was representative in Barabbas, Pilate, the elders, and the people. We find ourselves in each one of these, the self-proclaimed righteous, the coward, the one who goes along with the flow, the murderer. Matthew says, in reality, that was our trial that day. But instead of being the ones who received the blows and the lashes, we were set free. And we learned something about God that day. We learned how radical the love of God could be, that he would let the guilty walk free if it meant that they might have the chance to be forgiven and walk in freedom. God gave his son because he knew that only love could cover over a multitude of sins. God treated Jesus the way that we deserved so that we wouldn't have to be. And this is the model of the Christian life that we are given. But it is not always the case. You see, many of us that are watching and listening this day, we know about the love of God. John, I don't know the last time he preached, but he said something. What's that one song? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. We believe it for ourselves. We say it out loud. We proclaim it. We sing it. But I dare say this evening that there are some of us who believe we are the exception to that rule. I know many Christians, myself included, who have struggled with the love of God in Jesus Christ because we have been Barabbas. Rather than being the ones who say, wow, I'm set free, we'd rather stay in the chains and be condemned because we cannot receive the good news that in Jesus Christ, you truly are forgiven. Why? I'll tell you a few reasons. Guilt. Some of us carry guilt that is so big that we don't even know what to do with it. So we leave it on our own bodies and souls and carry it like a weight. Some of us feel that our sins are so insurmountable. We've done things that have been so wrong, so bad. How could God truly forgive those? Others of us try to work it out. Perhaps if I can clean up this mess a little bit, then things are going to be okay. But see, this is the problem. If we keep trying to work it out, keep trying to prove that somehow we are worthy to be saved, or that we've just given up and believe there is no hope for us, then what happened on Good Friday has no real power for us. You see, friends, I know the power of sin. The power of sin is not just in the moment that the act happens, but is the aftermath, the lies that continue to eat at us and drag us down. I don't think sin is just a moment in one's life, a misjudgment, you might say, but it is something that continues and festers. And I get it. But folks, this is the message of the gospel. Yes, we deserve to be on that cross. Yes, we were like Barabbas. We were absolutely guilty. We were like Pilate. We should have acted, but we did not. We were like the religious people who said we love God, but we were so far away from Him. We were like the crowd that day that just went along with the flow. And yet, this is what Jesus does. Jesus and God allow this whole trial to take place, and it's a charade of a trial. Because Jesus understands one thing. He looked at all of us, and He said, love. Love will set these people free. Only love can set them free. So that they can walk away from this place in freedom and in hope. And so Jesus took the cross. He faced it head on. He saw it with His eyes. But He saw you. He saw me. He saw my friends. He saw my family. He saw a murderer. He saw a criminal. And He said, I'll take the punishment. Give it to me, God. I'll take it so that they don't have to. Folks, this is Good Friday. This is why the message is important. This is why I believe it all comes down to this point where the gospel, whether it matters to you or not, this is the point of decision, the point of truth. You don't have to live bound. You don't have to stay on that cross. You can get off of it. In fact, you were never meant to be on it. Remember that verse. For while we were sinners, Christ died for us. This is love. This is for you. Let's pray. Gracious God, this evening, I invite you into our living rooms, into wherever we are. And Lord, I invite all of us to place our hands on our hearts. Lord, this is a symbolic gesture. But Lord, we want to first and foremost say this. Thank you for your love in our lives. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for taking the punishment that I deserved. And Lord, thank you that I can walk free today. Jesus, I acknowledge today your great love for all of us. And some of us this evening, we just heard this message and we say to ourselves, I need Jesus. I want him to be the Lord of my life. And so I ask you to invite him and just to pray a simple prayer. Jesus, I need you. For those of us who have walked with Jesus for a long time, we know our own patterns. We know where we get trapped in our sins. And so we say to you once again, Lord, redeem us, restore us, and help us to continue forward. Father, thank you for Good Friday. This is truly a good day. It is a day of our freedom, of our joy, and of our salvation. We love you, Jesus. We love you, God the Father. We ask these things in the Holy Spirit. Please speak to us.